I haven't skipped the special music. We'll get to it at the end of this. But the one holiday that involves more people and more nations than any other holiday celebration is Christmas. All the holidays and all the celebrations around the world take note of human events and human beings, except Christmas, which celebrates a divine person and a divine event. So why do we celebrate the birth of Jesus? What is so important about that event? Well, let's start at the beginning with Adam and Eve. They lived in a beautiful and perfect place and walked beside God in the cool of the day. All was well. And God told them they were free to eat fruit from any tree in the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. Well, because they were created with free will, Adam and Eve chose to disobey. Yes, there were circumstances, temptation put forth by an evil serpent, but it was their choice to eat the fruit. Sadly, sin came into our world. Our bodies start the dying process the minute life starts in our mother's womb. God knew this would happen even before he created Adam, but God could not create beings that were robots programmed to do only what God desired, only to worship him because they were created to do so. No, God wanted children that would, out of their own free will, love and worship him because they wanted to do so. July 20th, 1969. The first time men walked on the moon. How many of you remember that day? It's funny, you're all as old as me, you're older. I was 13 at the time, I remember that. Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin were the first two astronauts to walk on the moon. Just a side note, one of the first things that was done after the LEM, the Lunar Excursion Module, the LEM, landed on the moon and not reported was a communion service. Buzz Aldrin was a deacon at his church in Texas, and the congregation gave him a small container of wine, wafers, and a small chalice to take with. He took communion, read scripture, and prayed. After that, Neil Armstrong went outside the LEM, climbed down the steps, and said those well-known words. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. And his feet touched down on the surface of the moon. And then he said, "Oh, wow, there's no sin here." No, that's not what he said. In Romans 8, verse 20 to 23, it says, now when I get done reading this, it's a really good time for an amen and hallelujah. Just getting you ready, okay, when I get done. Against its will, everything on earth was subjected to God's curse. All creation anticipates the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And even we Christians, although we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, also groan to be released from pain and suffering. We too wait anxiously for that day when God will give us our full rights as his children, including the new bodies he has promised us. Yeah, I can't wait. Amen. But for now, we see that all creation groans from sin, and it goes way beyond even the moon. Sun dogs, our favorite winter scene. They are beautiful, but they usually only happen when it's very, very cold. You see, the ditch is the same level as the road. It's beautiful. I mean, it only happens when it's very, very cold. Really cold, like Josiah and Carrie's wedding. You guys remember that? When the air temperature is below zero, the air is heavy. It's condensed. The oxygen level is higher. It seems so clear and clean. But here's something to think about. Even the taste and smell of the air we breathe is not the same as it was before sin came into the world. It's not the same air as Adam and Eve breathed before the fall. No matter what we do or where we go, even to the moon, we cannot escape the effects of sin in our world. How do we ever begin to make things right with our Creator? We can't, but God can. Here in the first chapter, the Gospel of Luke, God begins to reveal to us His plan for our salvation. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, turn to Luke 1, beginning at verse 5. Luke 1, verse 5. I will read it and make comments as we go. By the way, the sermon title, The Two Amazing Blessings, what do you think they are? They're people. John and Jesus. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. So they'd been praying for many years for a child. And now Elizabeth was beyond childbearing age. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. See, at this time, there may have been almost 20,000 active priests in Israel. There were 24 orders or groups of priests. It could be 2 to 5 years before your rotation in time came up to serve in the temple. It was a big honor for Zacharias to serve in the temple. They cast lots to see who would burn the incense in the inner temple. This was considered the top job in the temple. That day, Zacharias was chosen, probably the only time in his life to do that important job. Verse 10, and the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. Angels are powerful beings. In 2 Kings, one angel killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. Whenever a person in the Bible encounters an angel, their first response is fear. Verse 13, but the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb." So this indicates that John will be a Nazarite from the day he's born. Those who take the Nazarite vow drink no alcohol, never touch any dead thing, and never cut their hair. There's two other Nazarites mentioned in the Bible. Samson is one. Halfway there. Samuel is the other one. Don't talk about Samuel much. But Samson and Samuel, and now John, another Nazarite. I find it interesting the Holy Spirit indwells John while he is still in the womb. So God views the pre-born as precious human beings. Verse 16, And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So John's important job will be preparing people to accept the Lord Jesus when he comes on the scene. Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." The angel answered and said to him, I love this, "I am Gabriel, who stands at the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and I'm unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." Zechariah knew who Gabriel was. He was a messenger angel, the very same angel that was sent to Daniel 600 years ago. I'm sure Zechariah is thinking, I wish I'd been quiet. The people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. When the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home. After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me, to take away my disgrace among men." See, being childless was considered a disgrace in her culture, but now God has given her a child in her old age. There's no more disgrace, only wonderful joy. Verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. In the sixth month here means the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. To a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So just look at the betrothal of Joseph and Mary. Being betrothed is more than an engagement. The families agree to the union. There's a little ceremony that takes place, and they're as good as married, but will not live together. The only way to break a betrothal is death or divorce. The betrothal usually lasts about 1 year. Verse 28. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So the angel Gabriel has now told Mary about God's plan for her to give birth to God's son. Jesus, God's son, had to be free from the sinful nature passed on to all humans by Adam. Because Jesus was born of a woman, he was human. But as the Son of God, he was born with no human sin. Jesus is both fully human and fully
divine. Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." In verse 56, later on, it says, Mary stayed with Elizabeth 3 months and went back home. That means when Elizabeth was 9 months along, Mary just up and went home. You're not supposed to add to Scripture. You're not supposed to take away. But I want to add a little bit here. Knowing women, there's no way that she's not going to stick around long enough to see the new baby, to hold baby John, and then go back to Nazareth. When Mary gets home, she's 3 months along. Mary now sees the cost of being an obedient servant and accepting God's plan for her life. I imagine her conversation with Joseph went something like this. "This is kind of weird, but I'm pregnant. And it's from God. The baby will be the Son of God, the Savior of the world." I'm sure Joseph's heart was broken. He decided to quietly call off the marriage. But an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and told him to go ahead with the marriage to Mary, "For the child is of the Holy Spirit, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And Joseph did what he was told to do. Everyone knows the pain and the hurt of being accused of something you did not do. Mary and Joseph were aware of the gossip and the lies and the mean things people would say about them for the rest of their lives. "Hey, Joseph, are you really the father of that boy or not?" If Joseph said, "Jesus is God's son and I'm protecting and raising him as my adopted son," no one would ever believe him. I'm sure Joseph learned how we say, "Just let it go." Mary lived her life with the social stigma, the lie that she had relations with some other man before she was married to Joseph. Think about the wedding in Cana. They ran out of wine, and Mary told Jesus about it. And he said, what's that got to do with me? It's not my time yet. But then she went to the servants and told them to do what Jesus says to do. So she manipulated Jesus into performing his first recorded miracle of turning water into wine. It is possible that Mary wanted Jesus to do a miracle so everyone would see. She had been telling the truth about Jesus all those years. In spite of the great cost involved in raising God's son, Mary and Joseph knew they had been greatly blessed. God chose them, two common, ordinary people, to help in God's plan of salvation for all his children. Next week, we will continue the story of this very young couple as they journey to Bethlehem. Verses 46 through 55 is known as Mary's Song of Praise or the Magnificat. In closing, Linda and I would like to sing Mary's Song of Praise. This one is taken from the Holden Evening Prayer. Lydia, we can just use this one, I think.
An angel went from God to a town.
I'll sing hymn number 245, O Come, Emmanuel. Stand if you are able. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen.